It's good to be in a heavenly place with you. Thank the Lord for His great presence. Thank the Lord for the good singing that's been done tonight in the choir and special songs and singing that you have done for us. It's just so good to worship God, isn't it? As they were singing, the best thing that's ever happened to me, that God saved me, redeemed me, give me this peace that I know tonight. How good it is. Thank the Lord for that. We've had a good day with your pastor. We thank the Lord for him taking us and then treating us with some good meals today. And we just love him and appreciate him. And we love all of you, and we thank the Lord for you. We do covet your prayers as we try our best to bring to you what we feel like the Lord has laid upon our heart. You that brought your Bibles tonight, and I'm sure you have, because if you was going to school, you'd have to take your book, wouldn't you? And so you would bring your Bible to church, wouldn't you? And so, in St. John, the 3rd chapter, and the 16th verse, very familiar scripture to all of us, isn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I want to speak on God's great gift tonight. God has given such a great gift. Oh, what a gift that God gave whenever he gave Jesus to this world. Most needed gift in the greatest way was for Jesus, that he had come and bring this great plan of salvation. The world was standing in need of far greater work than what the law could do. And so God looked down through his great mercy and his great love, gave his only Son, to a world lost and in sin, needing a Savior to redeem and to lift them out of sin, out of a misery life, and to give them the peace and the joy and the satisfaction. What a gift, that God has given us. The book of Hebrews then tells us, in the 9th chapter of Hebrews and the 14th verse of this chapter, that Jesus gave himself to the Father. And so how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. You see, God gave his Son, but then Jesus turned around and gave himself to the Father for the sacrifice that was needed for my sins and for your sins and for the great church of God, that he could redeem us through that precious blood of the Son of God. You see, the lambs that they offered, the doves they offered, the goats they offered, and all the sacrifices that were made under the law could not cleanse man's conscience. But there was Jesus that whenever he went to the cross of Calvary and gave himself to the Father, shed his last blood, laid his life down freely, his blood could wash a man's conscience, clean him, so there would be no sin, none whatsoever in his life. You say, well, preacher, I'm too mean for God to save me and to redeem me, and I've gone so far in sin, I just don't know if there could be any help for me. Yes, when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he fixed it that his blood could reach deeper than sin has ever stained. So in Hebrew, the 7th chapter and the 25th verse of this chapter, he said, wherefore he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, if you want to think on this tonight, how far will Jesus forgive sin? Think of old Saul, who persecuted, who laid his hand on the anointing of God, on the servants of God, and he gave himself all to the evil of putting God's people to death. But Jesus so loved that man and looked beyond and saw that old diamond down in the rust and corruption of sin, sent the Holy Ghost of God, blinded his eyes, brought him down on the road to Damascus, lifted him out of his sin and grief of the world, and out of that old spirit of persecution and murder and malice and envy and strife, and put the precious blood to his soul, washed him, cleaned him up, put him on the highway home toward heaven, thank God. He redeemed that man. Now you say, preacher, you mean God saved a man that was against him, against his church, against in every way. His blood reached deeper than the sin had ever stained that man, and washed him and cleaned him up and put him on the highway toward home. God is the same God today. He washes, he saves, he makes whole, he cleans, and he forgives sin. Thank God for Jesus tonight, whose blood reaches deeper than sin has ever stained. Well, what do I have to do to be saved? What do I have to do to be right with God? In Romans, the 9th chapter, he tells us very plain what you must do in order to come to Jesus Christ. He said in Romans, the 9th chapter and the 9th verse, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in the heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. Now, we've got to come to the place that we're saved by faith, not by feelings. You see, a lot of people, I've prayed with people and lingered with them a long time, counseling, talking, trying to help people to understand how to turn it over to Jesus. They kept waiting on the feelings. Well, if I offer you a gift, you'll never feel that gift until you take a hold of it. You see, you got to take God by faith. You got to believe that He's the Son of God, that He was sent here by God, that God so loved this world that He gave Him, and Jesus so loved us till He give Himself to Father for that sacrifice and an offering for my sins and for your sins. And you got to believe that Jesus laid His life down, that He went through that crucifixion, that He died, He was buried, He was resurrected, and thank God that He lives so you and I can live. We're not serving a dead God, we're serving a live God. He's live, and tonight He's living in every soul that will trust Him, believe in Him, and who has come through of that faith, an operation of faith, brother, and took a hold of it. You know tonight that He has forgiven you, raised you up, and set you on the highway home. As sure as you believe in God, He will move in and give you peace in your heart. Paul talked to the Romans in the sixth chapter of Romans, and he said this: "Know ye not, so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ." We're baptized into His death. Now this is an operation. This is not water baptism. This is spiritual baptism. This is when the Holy Ghost is working with you to quicken you and to empower you, to generate you, and to bring you in through that death of Jesus Christ. You see, His death is that which we're operating in when we come to repentance. We die through Him. We die the death to sin. We die to this world. We die to the lust of this world. We give up everything, lay down all, and buried with Him into the body of Christ by the death of the Son of God. Thank God for that baptism of the Holy Ghost of God. That brother quickens a soul, empowers a soul, brings you through that death of the Son of God, and raises you to a new life in Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, we are buried with Him in baptism unto death, that like as Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. There is a change whenever you go down through death with Jesus, and the Holy Ghost takes you through that death and quickens you, and you're dead, and then the power of God hits your soul and resurrects you and brings you to a new life in Jesus Christ. You see, it's just like planting a grain of corn, and you put him in the earth, earth. And when he's quickened and when he's generated, he comes out of there. And he don't look like corn that you planted. He's got a new form. He grows. He looks different. Brother, when God moves in, he changed you from the old man to a brand new man in Jesus Christ. You see, brother, you change your name from a sinner to a sinner. Hallelujah. And brother, when you die, sin stops right there and then. You're no more a sinner saved by grace. You come to be a saint of God, saved by the grace of God, brought from an old world to a new world in the Son of God. You're changed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, and you feel something in your soul that you never felt before, and you know there's a difference because God is there. Oh, how good it is whenever Jesus moves in. I want to take you over to Acts, this second chapter. On the day of Pentecost, there was a great thing taking place. Something happened there that hadn't never happened at Pentecost. And here old Peter, the chief spokesman on that day, and he gave them the message like this. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized. Now repent. If you're going down this way with sin, means you stop. You turn around, put your back to it, and you go this way. You see what I'm saying? You died to that way. You don't walk that way no more. You quit that way. You left everything that way. You don't know that way no more. You died. But thank God you had a resurrection right where you died. He resurrected you and you started this way. And what are you looking for? Like Paul of old, forgetting them things behind you, but setting your mind on the goal before you. Thank God. Regardless of the cost that it cost you to lay it down, it's cheap to what you're finding ahead of you, because the glory and the blessings of it, knowing God as your personal Savior. I've got a captain of my salvation tonight. And brother, he's given me a spiritual home. He's given me the hope in my soul of something I never did have. And brother, today I find it worthwhile to live for, because I'm a journeying with the joy of salvation in my soul. Praise God, it's good to be saved. Good to be on our way home. Let me dig in a little more on this. And be baptized. Now you ought to be baptized as when you get saved. That's part of your salvation. You need to be baptized. Yes, you do. It lays right at the door. Some people say, well, you ought to wait a while. Well, Acts is a 16th chapter. When they said to Paul, what must I do to be saved? Paul preached them a sermon real quick. He went down to their house and he had a meeting at the house, and the whole family got saved. And he didn't wait till daylight. He took them out at midnight and he baptized them. Brother, I want you to know they got an experience, and whenever they tasted that taste from heaven, they said take me, Father, and went down in the watery grave and came up, thank God, to show that they'd been buried and crucified by the Holy Ghost of Jesus Christ and baptized with Jesus and had a resurrection through the power of the Holy Ghost of God. Praise the Lord. And he said this, for the remission of sins. I don't know how many sins I had, but I had a bunch of them, and I'm glad to get rid of them. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When do you get the Holy Ghost? Whenever you get saved. What is the Holy Ghost? He's a gift of God. I don't know about you. I got a new tongue when I got saved. Amen. What do you mean? God took all that bad language out of mine. God took swearing out of my language. God took cursing out of my language. He took all the filth out of my language. Oh, I had a brand new tongue to talk with. Thank God I was speaking different than what I had ever talked about. And brother, I wanted to be sure of what I was saying, that I was correct in what I was saying. What happened to me? The Holy Ghost on the inside had quickened my soul and brought me to a new life. And brother, that new life with that new language in my soul was talking right, praise God. And whenever I spoke for Jesus. And I want you to know, brother, sister, the Holy Ghost moves in your soul the very minute you get saved. Well, how do you know you got saved? Well, nobody had to tell me. When the Holy Ghost moved in, he told me. Amen. You looking for feelings? He's there. He's there. When they took me to Old Tillico River and baptized me and I come out of the water, seemed like heaven met my soul. And brother, I came out and I give a shout of heaven in my soul because God, I resurrected with him. And then that operation of that water baptism of faith, and I know there's one baptism. So what's a water baptism? Operation of faith. Operation of faith. It's a witness to what's already happened in my soul. And that's why when I was baptized in the water, at the Holy Ghost witness to my soul, I brought you, I took you through the crucifixion of the Son of God. I brought you out of death. I resurrected you. You're a new creature in the Son of God. And so I witness to your soul that you are now an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. I went down poor as the poor could be, came up just as rich as I could be. Praise God, I had something with the Lord I never had before. Well, the Apostle Paul then tells us, whenever that we come out like this and being a new man, he tells us how to arm herself and to live that Christian life, does he not? For he says in the sixth chapter of Romans, he said, likewise, in this 11th verse, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I died to Satan, but I'm alive unto Jesus. Died unto sin, but alive unto righteousness. Some say sin I will, and sin I must, or I bust. I want to say sinners don't saint, and saints don't sin. Whenever we get saved, we don't look back. We're looking forwards with God. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. That word let, L-E-T, is found 319 times in the Word of God. It means you can permit it or you can hinder it. You see, you're a free more agent after you save, just like you was before you got saved. So it's this saying it this way. If you want to try the Lord, know that He can save you. You want to be saved. And if you think you ain't going to be happy, the devil will be glad to have you back. But you won't want to go back. You want to look on. And you want to trust the Lord. So you don't have to sin. You don't need to sin. Sin was bad to you in the first place. It corrupt you, gave you a bad name, ruined your character. But when Jesus moved in, He healed your soul. Now I know some of us maybe committed things that were hard to overcome. Let me say this to you. Not only does God forgive us, we've got to forgive ourselves. We've got to put things out and put it behind us and know that we died and that we're alive in Jesus Christ. We don't need to talk about them things there. We need to talk about these things on our road home. That because we're new creatures in the Son of God. So He said, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you obey in the lust thereon. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God, as thereforth ye are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, your hands are to be yielded to God. Your walking is to be yielded unto God. Your eyes is to be yielded unto God. Your senses is to be yielded unto God. Your total person is to be yielded unto God. Give your all unto God. Be like the old man that was running the beer joint. He got saved and he went outside and he took the sign down and he put up a new sign. He said, where sin abound, grace much more abound. You see, what sin done to me, grace much more can do for me. God can help me live my life. Oh, some people say, preacher, I don't know if I can live it. If you let God have control, you can live it. For God will help you every step of the way. As you step toward Him, He'll step toward you. James said, draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. Brother, you can walk a new walk and live close to God if you want to. Amen. Praise the Lord. Old time salvation. Nothing like it. Know ye not that whom ye yield yourselves, servants, to obey. His servants ye are. When you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. When you was a sinner, you did the things of sin. You did what the devil wanted you to do. Did you not?
Right.
You liked your music, did you not? Oh yes, you did. Tell it like it is. You know what I'm talking about. When I was in sin, I loved my rock and roll music. I loved old Elvis. I like to hear him singing. I'm all shook up. Jailhouse Rock. I used to love to hear old Fats Domino sing. I found my thrill on Blueberry Hill. And I told my sugar bump a lot of time. I said, I found you on McConkie Hill. But brother, when Jesus moved in, I forgot all of that. Thank God he gave me a new song. What is that new song? Amazing Grace. That saved an old sinner like me. And reached away down and lifted my feet from the miry clay. David said in Psalms 100, our 40th chapter, he reached down. He pulled me from the miry clay. He set my feet on a solid rock and put a song in my heart. In other words, old David just sang because God put that joy in his soul and let him have something that made him want to sing for God.
Amen.
We want to sing a song that gives God praise. That gives him the glory. Oh, praise God. Ain't it a good life? Ain't it a good life? You can hold your head high, give this old world a smile and say, beat this if you can. They ain't got nothing down at Walmart nor nowhere else that'll beat this. This is the best thing that's going. Bless the Lord over my soul, David said. Now in Paul was talking to the Thessalonian brethren, and he wanted them to live close to God, be sanctified. You know what being sanctified means? Living by the Word. Let the Word have control. Follow the Word of God. Let it be your rule that you live by, walk by, practice by. So Paul said, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that have you received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you'd abound more and more. Do you want more of what you got? Do you want to be closer than what you got? James said, draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh to you. How do I do that? Through his word. Read it. Pray about it. Ask God to enlighten you. Help him to fill your knowledge with his word. Give you an understanding of his word. Fortify you with his wisdom. And direct your heart in his understanding. That's sanctification, please. You'll please God if you're seeking heavenly things and not earthly things. Set your mind on heavenly things. Instead of looking down, look up. There's greater things up than they are down. And so walk toward upward instead of downward. God's got some great things in store for every one of us.
Amen.
So he said, know ye not, know ye, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now let me tell you, young Christians, and you young people here, you are so beautiful. You're so beautiful in what you're doing here. I've been watching you. I've watched you in camp meeting. I've watched you in revivals since I've come here. You dress right. You look right. And I just love what you're doing. But let me tell you what this fornication is. It's when you flirt with babbling, with false religion. False religion is confusion to you. You remember in Revelation 2:18, read it tonight when you go home. It's a Jezebel system. No matter who's went down there that you had confidence in. Now, how much confidence you got in anybody down there? Remember what God showed you and what God's done for you. He saved you out of sin. He put you in the place where he wants you. Amen. He put you in truth and a false system. He said if you have relationship with that, it's spiritual fornication. Right. He said, I'll cast Jezebel in a bed. And he said, if you commit fornication with her, I'll kill your children with death. If you stay in false religion, if you've been in it, you still want to court it, you still want to have love for it, let me tell you what you're doing. There's people watching you, looking on you. You've got influence on them. You're going to cause them to think that's all right. You need to get out of it if you're in it. And you need to stay out of it. You need to walk close to God and let the Word of God be your rule, your authority, your control, and that sanctification, if you please. And the Holy Ghost is pleased with you whenever you're walking to please God.
Amen.
Is that good enough? When God saved me, I didn't want a thing they had. I wanted something better and something that satisfied my soul. He said that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. What is this vessel? This is God's house. Now Isaiah 52:11 said, be ye clean that bear the vessel of the Lord. You see, God wants our fellowship to be clean. Let me turn over here to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, if you want to turn with me. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and the 1st verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirits, perfecting wholeness in the fear of God. Well, what are you talking about, Paul? In just the 15th verse of the 6th chapter, what agreement has, or what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believe with an infidel? Or what agreement has a temple, now look, that's your vessel, with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, dwelling in them, walk in them, and I will be your God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be ye a separate people, said the Lord. Let me back up, my eyes date you. And touch not the unclean thing. I will receive you. I will be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Now what's he talking about here? He's talking about coming out from under those creeds, those idols. Now when people write up a creed and tell you you have to go by this creed to be a member of their church, that's an idol. Amen. Did you hear me? Amen. Young people, when you confess, now you say, well, preacher, why would you talk that way to young people? Did you ever read Psalms? Whenever he said, take the little ones and dash them against a stone. Who is that stone? Jesus Christ. Whenever a person gets saved, they're young in their experience, get them to Jesus, acquaint them with him as fast as you can. Give them the knowledge that these creeds that's written up by man are not ordained of the Holy Ghost. They're not in under the blood of Christ. And you don't need to fellowship it. And if you're among it, you need to come out of it. It's unclean. Its spirit's unclean. And you need to separate from everything that's unclean and walk a new life in a brand new spirit with Jesus Christ. Amen. That is sanctification. That's sanctification. Praise the Lord. Amen. I like what I can find chapter and verse on. Do you see when man, and they were doing that in their day, they write their own Bible. Read Matthew the 15th chapter. The scribes were putting in their Talmud. That was unclean. And whenever people picks up something and sets it before you, and they begin to force it with you and tell you you have to do this, that's forcing it on you. You need to know that when God saves you, he don't force it on you. Nobody forced Jesus to die. He said, no man taketh my life, I lay it down. And you got to volunteer what you do for God. Now you may have friends down there, and you may have folks down there. They may not hear what you hear. They may not seen what you see tonight. But don't go back and unchristianize them. You just leave it out. Leave it alone. Get out of it yourself. Walk with God and help them every time you can to see what God has done for you. That he saved you and brought you out of that which man has done and set you in what God's doing. And he's taken you home to heaven in a brand new life. Praise the Lord. I like what God does. Do you like what God does? I love his Holy Spirit and his goodness. Sometimes it's just a little bit hard, seem like, to take a hold of what God does. But if you'll do it, you'll get a blessing just as sure as you who you are. Well, God sanctifies people who will obey him. Yes, he does. And then I'll show you what kind of prayer he prayed for himself and for his followers. and his followers was going to have to go. He was going to have to go to the cross of Calvary, and he knew what they were going to face. And so he said in his prayer, in the 17th chapter of St. John, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Right. Now, what was he saying and how was he saying we're to be sanctified? We're to be sanctified through truth. Thy word is truth. This is truth. Amen. Now, if we do this, follow this, live to all knowledge, wisdom, whenever we get saved, and do what God says to do every day, putting on more of Jesus, putting on his knowledge, studying his knowledge, studying his wisdom by the word of God, taking it, eating it. Brother, he is sanctifying your soul every step of the way. He may do you like he done the Jews. The Jews wanted to bring their stuff over in Grace Age. But the fifth chapter of Ephesians tells us that he washed them and cleansed them by the word. You see, he had to take some things away from the Jews by washing them with the word of God and letting them know this is the will of God. Right. This is what God sent me to bring. This is God's covenant. This is God's law. And it'll wash the conscience of all the law. And it'll give you grace. And I want to tell you something. When God takes anything away from you, he'll give you something better. And you'll enjoy it better because God fixed it that way. Amen. That's the way I found it. And that's my experience with the Lord. And it just gets better and better and better. I don't know about you, but I hunger and I thirst for the Word of God. Because the more I know, the more I know I don't know. And the more I see, the more I see I don't see. And the more I understand, the more I understand, I don't understand. And so what do I do? I study all day long. And I say, Lord, seem like I'm more confused now than I was when I started. But God said, just keep on studying. Keep on eating. You see, we got to eat the word. We've got to follow the word. And if you just keep digging in, put your feet under God's table, there's 50 miles of elbow room any way you want to look. And brother, you can just keep eating, keep dining, and God will just keep feeding your soul. And he keeps leading you on. And he keeps blessing you. And you just keep on. And he keeps filling you with his knowledge, with his understanding. And there's nothing no better in this world, no greater treasure than knowing the truth and the word of God. I love the sword that Jesus gave me. And it comes out of the mouth of God. Comes out of the mouth of God. So he said, sanctify them. And thou hast sent me into the world. Even so have I also sent them into the world. Now Jesus takes us out of the world, but he sends us back into the world. We're in the world, but we're not part of the world. Amen. He separated us, he washed us, he cleaned us. Now then, he's praying that we'll let the word, the truth, keep us sanctified as we walk in the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself. Now, do you think God had sin in his life? No. But he did have to learn obedience.
Right. Amen.
He was Son of God. But the book of Hebrews said he learned obedience. You'd think being the Son of God, he'd knowed everything there was to learn. But he come here and took on himself a human body. And there was things to learn and to experience. Now then, since he did that, he knows you and I. He's been down that road you and I going. Amen? He knows how to deliver you and I. So he said he sanctified. In other words, I'm setting myself apart for what's ahead of me. What's ahead of you, Lord? The cross. I'm going to the cross. I'm going to have to die. I'm going to lay my life down. I'm going to give myself to the Father, a sacrifice and an offering for the sins, that I might sanctify them through thy truth. You see, if he's going to do something for us, he needed to have himself in that condition. Did he not? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through the word. Jesus' prayer of his apostles, he wanted them so fix their self on his covenant, on his word, that they'd be so set apart from the world, and that they'd believe on them the same way they believed in him. Do you get that? That he prayed for the sick and they were healed. We have been given that right. You believe we have?
Sure.
Jesus, in Matthew 28, he told his disciples, go in all the world, preach the gospel, good news. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You see, he gave them power. You and I are to live Christ-like in this world. We are to suffer persecutions. We're to suffer trials. We're to suffer our testers, whatever they be. But remember this, we are to keep the word of God in all of it. Be like Jesus in all of it. Jesus said, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter. How long? All day long. Don't let people get you beside yourself because they tongue lash you. Just remember, you're being crucified all day long, but that you're still the Lamb of God, that you belong to Jesus Christ, and that you're a sheep, and that you're walking toward home. One day, this battle's going to be over. One day, Jesus is going to come. One day, we're going to see who's awaiting at the top of the hill. Won't that be a great day to see who's awaiting at the top of the hill? I don't know who all's going to be there, but I want to see the captain of this. I want to see him who's done so much for me when I reach the top of the hill. I want to thank him and thank him for all he's done for me. Thank God he done more for me than anybody done. This old world's been rough on me. My dad went to prison 5 times for bootlegging. My mother left me when I was a year old. I never saw her till I was 17 years old. But God reached down one day and said, David, I love you. Come my way. And I turned to Jesus, and I found somebody to love me. I found somebody that cared about me. I've found somebody that's helped me every step of the way. When the world's forsaken you, there's somebody that's still got his eye on you. And that's King Jesus. Thank God for salvation, people. Now, if you here tonight, the old world's got you down. Sin's got a hold of you. Let me tell you, Jesus is coming before long. You can see the world and see what kind of shape it's in. Drugs and alcohol everywhere. Killing seem like is everywhere. World chaos. Look at the same sect of marriage. Sins of Solomon killing the effect of the Word of God in their life. So we need to come to Jesus, have this peace and righteousness and joy of salvation. Turn to the Lord while you can. Give your heart to Him while you can. You'll never, never be sorry. Forget what's behind you. Reach forth to what's before you. May God bless you as we stand and sing.